C.J. Grisham, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thanks for having me.
I should mention something here. You're talking with us from your home in Temple because KERA does not allow guns in our studios. And you don't go to places where you can't carry a weapon.
Right. If I can't defend myself from a threat, I will not go there. I don't believe in gun-free zones. I don't believe that they deserve my money. Because quite frankly, there is not a single place in this country that is immune from criminal activity. And while it may be a rare instance in which that place is targeted, the fact of the matter is I don't want to be a victim. I will not go someplace that I can't defend myself and I can't defend my family. And yeah, unfortunately, the studio is a gun-free zone. And even though I want to talk about gun rights, it's kind of hard to talk about gun rights in a place that doesn't respect them.
You've argued for constitutional carry in addition to open carry, which means anyone who legally owns a gun can carry it openly. You want an end to gun-free zones. What's your ultimate vision here?
Well, the ultimate vision is a return to our constitutional principles, which is we should be able to carry a firearm without having to beg for government permission, to pay a Second Amendment tax, get back to really what gun rights were like back in 1791 when the Second Amendment was ratified.
So you believe pretty much anyone should be able to carry anywhere?
I believe anyone should be able to carry a firearm for peaceful purposes, for self-defense purposes. Obviously, I don't believe in people using guns to commit crime, commit murder, to threaten or endanger other people. But I do believe that people should have a right to defend themselves no matter where they go.
What do you say to, say, police officers who look at this and say, my job suddenly gets 10 times more complicated?
I say to those guys that having armed, law-abiding citizens with guns is actually a benefit to them because it helps in their job. When you've got more people that are armed, you got fewer criminals that are going to be able to commit their crimes, and that makes their jobs a lot easier.
But in that world, how do you tell the good guys with a gun from the bad guys with a gun?
The bad guy's pointing a gun at you.
That's it?
Yeah, the bad guy's using his gun to commit a crime. The good guy is simply carrying a gun in a holster. How do you tell a good guy with a hidden gun from a bad guy with a hidden gun? And the fact is that criminals hide their guns more than they openly carry their guns because they don't want to draw attention to themselves. So I think people should be more suspect of guns you can't see than guns you can.
As part of this constitutional carry idea, though, I mean, that involves getting rid of licensing, right?
Well, no, you still have the same restrictions on who can and can't carry a gun. You still got laws that say felons can't have guns. You still got laws that say the mentally disturbed can't carry guns. So that doesn't change. The only thing that changes is a person like you and me who has no intention to commit crimes being able to carry a gun without jumping through hoops. Right now, the criminals experience that already. They don't jump through hoops to carry their firearms. They do it anyway. So really, all that these laws are doing right now that require licensing are keeping you and me from being able to carry a firearm unless we jump through a bunch of those hoops that we don't require for the criminals.
Let's talk about campus carry in Texas. You've described it as watered down because it's not universal. Public universities, as of August, will be required to allow concealed carry on campus, but they can designate specific gun-free zones. Why do you think almost every private university in Texas has opted not to allow guns?
I think it's because they've been given that opportunity and the ability to do that. And quite frankly, I support private property rights. We have been, as a nation, for the last several decades, doing everything we can to stigmatize firearms and to somehow create this narrative that you have no right to self-defense around an educational facility. And that brainwashing has worked. It's paid off in spades. And we see that because now that campus carry is legal in Texas, but there are carve-outs for it, those that have the carve-outs are using those carve-outs to, again, prevent guns on campus instead of using that as an opportunity for education. And that's what we need in this country. We need our schools, our universities, to bring back gun awareness and gun education instead of gun fear.
This week, President Obama announced a series of measures aimed at cracking down on gun violence. I want to play a little bit of what he said.
Our unalienable right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, those rights were stripped from college kids in Blacksburg, in Santa Barbara, and from high schoolers at Columbine. and from first graders in Newtown.
Then the president paused and wiped away a tear.
Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad.
C.J. Grisham, what would you say to the parents of those 20 kids killed in Connecticut?
I would say, you know what, you're right. Their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness was stripped away because President Obama refused to repeal laws that would have allowed these teachers to defend themselves against those people. President Obama's policies is what created and what creates dead kids, because teachers, faculty, they're not allowed to defend themselves when they walk through the boundary of a school. So yeah, I mean, President Obama's right. That right was stripped from them. However, he wants to make sure that more kids die by refusing to allow us to carry on those schools to protect our own kids.
But the president would argue, and there are a lot of people who would argue, that it's the relaxation of gun laws and the ability of someone like Adam Lanza to get multiple guns that led to Newtown.
No, what led to Newtown was irresponsibility, and what led to Newtown was criminal activity, and you can't stop that. The fact is that bad people will do bad things, and you can't affect the rights of the law-abiding to try and prevent the criminality. So what you have to do is you have to make it easier for law-abiding citizens to defend themselves, not harder.
Is there anything in the president's speech that you agree with?
No, not at all. You know, here's the irony. Where I come from as a gun rights advocate and where President Obama comes from as a gun control advocate, we actually have the exact same goal in mind. We both want freedom and we both want safety and we both want to make sure that our kids can grow up and live productive lives. The difference is that we want to do that in different ways. And I don't think that's something that we're ever going to be able to resolve, because as long as we both want the same thing but think there are different ways of going about it, we're never going to come to an agreement on that.
How do you feel about what's going on in Oregon right now? Armed men occupying a federal building.
It's kind of interesting because I think we've had terrorists occupying the White House for long enough. That's a federal building. But, you know, I right now, this is a peaceful thing. This is no different than what we did when we gained our independence from Great Britain.
I just want to make sure I'm clear. You said they're terrorists in the White House. Are you calling the president a terrorist?
I am. He's trying to, right now, terrorize the American people into giving up their gun rights. I mean, the terrorism comes in all kinds of forms and fashions. And I'm being very facetious, yes. But the bottom line is that the federal government uses force to and threats of force to get its way. And that's no different than what the people in Oregon are doing right now. They're using force or the threat of force to bring back the power to the people. So I don't really see a difference between the two, because no one's getting shot, no one's getting killed. And the only people that are going to initiate violence in that issue is going to be the government. They're the ones that are going to start the violent action.
I wonder, C.J. Grisham, do you think some open carry activists torpedo their own cause?
I think the problem that we have is that some people try to blame open carry activists or any gun rights activists that do stupid things. What we need to do is look at the bigger picture and recognize that the actions of one or two or heck, even 100 people don't justify or paint the rest of that particular community. I mean, and it goes for every cause, not only gun rights. But it's interesting how in this country, the actions of just a few radical extremists somehow don't paint an entire religion, but the actions of a few radical gun rights guys do. I think we've got to get past that and recognize that they are exceptions to the cause, not the cause itself.
C.J. Grisham is the head of Open Carry Texas. He joined us from his home in Temple. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. And you guys have a great new year.